And we're holding page Chof Vav in Chagiga about the end of the We started learning yesterday about the various things that Hashem created on the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis. The Gemara had listed 10 things. Ma'asha summarizes that they are the four Yesodos on earth, one in Shemayim, and then the various things that define existence, like times and things like that, and light, which was the purpose for which the Eibishter created the world in the first place, ultimately the light of the Shechin. So now the Gemara asks, but Urbiyam Yishin Ivri, you're telling me that the light was created on the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Baksi Vayitin Oisim Alekim Birki Hashamayim, we've only on the fourth day that Hashem create the heavenly bodies and put them in the sky, and that was the fourth day. So what light on the first day? Ela Kedur Abolazim. Now, the Gemara could have answered, there are many Mefarshim who explain that B'chlal, the Eibishter, created all of what's called Chomer Yuli, what the Rishonim call, like an unformed potential existence on the first day, and then each of the other days Hashem shaped it into the appropriate thing. So the Gemara could have answered that, but instead the Gemara gives a better answer. This light that Hashem created on the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Odom Sofer or Mabit by Misofer or Mad Sofer, a person would be able to look with it and gaze with it and see from one end of the world to the other. To some extent, it can mean Begashmius. It can mean, in other words, that it was a much more powerful light than anything we're familiar with. But it could also mean Beruchnius, that he has the ability to perceive things on a Ruchniistic level, even at the ends of the world. But you know, maybe nowadays it's a little easier to understand it on a Gashmiistic level as well. When, after all, we have forms of light, we have various electromagnetic radiations with which you can see things much further out than the horizon, much further than you would ever be able to see with your own eyes. So maybe it could mean, push it in a literal sense, that the original light they wished to create it was of that kind. There wasn't a person yet to see it, but it would be. Hashem looked ahead to what's going to be before the marble and the tower above it. But Rosh and Maaseh Mekol Kolim, and he saw that they're acting badly, and they would end up misusing that gift of being able to see. So Omad v'gonzo, Hashem went and hid it. It means, so to speak, okay, the tzaddikim lose out from it also, but on the other hand, the fact is, it's Yosef points out, look, eventually the tzaddikim are going to get it back, so therefore it's not so bad the fact that they lost it temporarily. He hid it from them. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'yimona me'rishoyim oram, the light was withheld from the rishoyim, Zroya Romati Shogar, and the mighty powerful arm was broken. In other words, by Hashem taking away that light and denying it to them means that now they don't have the power to oppose Hashem even more as it is. The Dura Mabel and the Dura Flogger did enough of that if they had this light at their disposal, they would have been able to all the more so. So now it breaks their power. So who did Hashem hide it away for? Let's tzaddikim la'asid lavei. Hashem hid it away for the tzaddikim in the future. The pasuk says Hashem saw the light that it's good. The word toiv refers to the tzaddik. As the pasuk says, say about the tzaddik that he is good. So therefore, when it says vayara lekima sa'ur ki toiv, means that Hashem hid away the light for the one that is toiv. The light itself, when it saw that it's being hidden away for the sake of the tzaddikim, then it was happy. The light of the tzaddikim will be happy. So the light itself, so to speak, was happy that it's not going to be misused by the Rishoy. Famously, the Baal Shem Tov said that this light is hidden in the Torah, and therefore, when a person learns Torah properly, the Shem Shemayim, then he has the ability to see Misofa Alamad Sofa, and you have all the famous Baal Shem Skemaisis, where he's able to see the guys, you know, the guys Oxen and Leipzig, or the different stories like that, where he's able to see Misofa Alamad Sofa by looking into the Torah. Because the original teretz would be okay, so there was an unformed light, and then later on the Eibishter created the heavenly bodies. He was saying it is the very same light. He was saying that it's not just an unformed light, it's not just a potential light, it's an actual light, but a much more intense begashmius beruchnius light than what came later on. So the Gemara says Katanoi. There's actually a machlokas Tanoim on that. Rabbi Yaakov says what we just said, what we just learned, that there was the light Hashem created on the first day, and then he hid it away, and the light that we have that comes from the sun and moon and so forth is really just a pale reflection of that. The Chachamim say, sort of along those lines of the Chomer HaYuli, that it was that Hashem created the heavenly bodies on the first day. They were only placed in their places on the fourth day. Now, Maharsha points out, by the way, that Bechlau, why is the Gemara bothered by this only once we have the Braisa that mentions Ur as one of the 10 things that Hashem created on the first day? The Pasuk itself says, on the first day. Why isn't the Gemara bothered by the contradiction between that and the creation of the heavenly bodies on the fourth day? So Maharsha says, fine, obviously you could answer like the Chachamim, that it means that Hashem created them on the first day and then placed them where they belong on the fourth day. But when the Brai said before, didn't just mention Ur, it also mentioned Midas Yom and Midas Laila, the concept that a day consists of 24 hours. So therefore, and that's also something the Braisa listed on the first day. That implies that the sun and moon must have already been functioning on the first day, because otherwise, how could you talk about a 24-hour cycle when there's no sun or moon to mark it? That's what bothered the Gemara. And the answer is that yes, according to Rabbi Lazar and according to Rabbi Yaakov, yes, Hashem created the sun and moon already on the first day, and created some kind of luminaries on the first day, from which came the Ur Misofa or the Mad Sofa. Then he hid him away. Then on the fourth day, Hashem created other Ma'uris, the sun and moon that we're familiar with, and put them in the sky. So according to that, that's what we would have to say, that the original Ur that the Eibishter created was a different set of luminaries, a different set of light-giving things than was created later on the fourth. Well, that's essentially what the Chachamim were saying. It's the same light that Hashem created on the first day, and then it's placed on the fourth day. Okay, I mean, many times we have different opinions in the Gemara. Yeah, later on, when we look at them, we can see how to harmonize them like that. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omer of Zutra Baturya Omer Rab. Ba'asara Dvarim Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem created the world using 10 things. Maharsha says, when you get down to it, these 10 are basically the same as the 10 spheres, just some of them under the names that we're familiar with, and others under unfamiliar names. B'chachmo v'tvunu v'das, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, which of course are chesed, chachma bina and das, b'koyach, with power, or b'gvura, and with strength. Where one of those corresponds to Gvura, the other one, yeah, over Ge'ora, and with yelling at, as the Gemara is going to say, there's certain things in Ma'aseh Bereishis that Hashem had to yell at them and rebuke them to stop. So that's another one of the 10 things. But Tzedek over Mishpat, with righteousness and justice, over Chesed over Rachmim, and with Chesed and Rach. So some of these things, obviously Chesed, we can understand, corresponds to Chesed among the spheres. Gvura is Gvura, Rachmim we know is another name for Tiferes, Chochma, Tvuna, and Das, again, are Chochma, Bina, and Das. Some of the other ones, it's a little harder to understand how exactly they map to the 10 spheres, but nevertheless, Maharsha says that's what it is. So let's go through. We can show from Psukim that all 10 of these qualities were Hashem used in creating the world. B'chochma v'tvona, Hashem used chochma and bina. Dichtiv, Hashem b'chochma yosad aretz. Hashem founded the world with chochma. Konen shemayim b'tvona, and he established the heavens with tvona. Now the difference between chochma and tvona. So in Chassidus we're familiar with the idea that chochma is the spark of an idea, and bina is the derivation. What you broaden that and understand it more fully. Rashi over here explains in a slightly different vein. Chokhmah is you know what you learned. Tzvunah is that you can understand new things. You can do pilpul and derive from those facts that you already know, derive new concepts. So we're saying that Hashem used both of those qualities in creating the world. Maharsha adds the point, in other words, that So later on, the Gemara is soon going to discuss the question, what was created first, earth or heaven? So here, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting, since it mentions Chochmah in connection with the earth, and Tevuna in connection with the heavens, and we know that Chochmah comes before Bina, then therefore that would imply that the earth was created first, like this Hillel says later on. Then the Das, Hashem also used Das, Tichtiv, the next pasuk there in Mishlei continues, the Daitoi Tehoimus Nivko, with Hashem's Das, the depths were broken open, and the water came out of them to cover the appropriate parts of the earth. Marshall adds, this is, we learned yesterday about Boihu, we learned about Toyu and Boihu, and the Gemara had identified Boihu as wet stones from which water emerges, that's these Tehoimus Nivko that the pasuk is referring to. So there's your Chochmah, Bina, and Das. Next, the Koyach of Gvura, Hashem used power and strength. Dichtiv, Mechin Horim B'choyche, Hashem set up the mountains with his strength. Nezer B'Gvura, Hashem is booted with power. Nezer is like Ezer, like Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura. In general, throughout Tanakh, you have the figure of speech. When you describe a person, or in this case, metaphorically, Hashem is strong, like a person girds their loins, a person puts on their belt and like hitches up their flowing robes to get to work. So therefore, gvura is always associated with putting on and then girding one's waist like that. So therefore, the same metaphor is being used in the pasuk. Marshall adds that we see the power in the Gvura of Hashem much more so in the creation of the mountains than anything else. We have in today's Rosh Chodesh, we're saying today and tomorrow, Baruch Nafshi, and we have the Psukim over there, Al Horim Yamdu Moyim, that Hashem makes water rest on top of the mountains, and the water Yalu Horim Yoduv Kois, and Hashem makes the mountains Horim Agvoyim Layalim. So we see the power of Hashem in creating the mountains much more so than in other areas of Ma'aseh Bereishis. So therefore, that's why Koyach and Gvura are associated with those. Next, the Ge'ora, Hashem used the power of yelling and rebuking at things. Dichtiv, the pasuk is Amudei Shemayim Yireifafu, the pillars of the heavens are shaky, the Yismahu, and then they're startled Migarosai from Hashem's rebuke. So meaning, in other words, as the Gemara is going to go on to talk about, that the earth was expanding, and then Hashem rebuked it and told it, stop there, and it stopped. Marsha brings over here that Rashi on the Pasuk explains a little differently. That Rashi mentions on the Pesukim in Bereishis, that when Hashem first created the heavens, and we know that there's Mayim Elyonim over there, as the Gemara is going to discuss later on, and the heavens themselves are made from a mixture of fire and water, Shemayim, one meaning is Eishomayim, so they were still weak and shaky, you know, like water naturally would be, and then the Eibishter tells it, stand still, and like you yell at a person to stop, and he's so startled that he stands still, the same way, like so to speak, they were so startled that they stood still and have remained that way since. So that's the Ge'orah that Hashem used. That Matan Torah is something else. The whole world was trembling, or the Jewish people going to accept the Torah? And then when they accepted the Torah, then Eretz Yorav Shakata. Here we're talking about when the Eibishter first created the sky, the heavens, that they were still shaky until Hashem was goyer at them, and then that's it. They stood that way, and they remained standing that way ever since. So that's the power of Ge'ora. Next, the Gemara is going to give more about the Ge'ora soon. The tzedek of mishpat, Hashem created the world with righteousness and with justice. Dichtit, tzedek of mishpat machon kisecha. The pasuk says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And Marsha adds that the kiseh kovod itself was actually created even before sheishis and mevereishis. What we mean is that the kiseh kovod is created using the same things that the world was created with. But the actual Kiseh HaKavod was created even before the world. The Gemara in Pesachim mentions it's one of the seven things that were created before the world. Next, the Chesed of Rachamim. Hashem created the world involving Chesed and Rachamim. Dictiv, Zchor Rachamecha Hashem Machatzadecha. Hashem, remember your mercies and your kindnesses. Ki mei olam hema, because they are of the world. Now, if it meant just in the simple sense that your mercies and your kindnesses have always existed, then it would say le'olam. So mei olam hema means they have always existed from the very beginning of the world. They have existed. In Chassidus, we have it's brought in various places that the idea is that unlike the moichin, which are higher than the worlds, unlike chokhma, bina, and das, which are higher than the olamos, the midas involve the olamos. We have in the bar mitzvah maimer, without somebody to do chesed too, you can't do chesed, and the same with all the other midas. So therefore, mei olam hema, they have more directly to do with the olam, with the world. Love Dafka, I guess. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, L'chor or not, Marsho is equating them with the 10 spheres, and right after Chabad, yes, Chagas. So, where here the Gemara is putting, here the Gemara is putting Chagas at the end. So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Omer of Yehuda Omer Rab. B'shar Shabara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa Olam, when Hashem created the world, Hoya Marchi B'Holich K'shtei Paka'oyas Shal Shes. It kept on expanding and growing larger like two balls or two spools of shesi threads. You have the shesi threads or the threads that you set up on a loom to begin with, and then you use the aid of thread going back and forth. So you have like a when you're rolling up those balls and they become bigger and bigger, and the same way the world is getting bigger and bigger. Marsha says two balls in the sense, first of all, the Gemara is going to explain soon, for example, that the heavens were created from Eish and Mayim. So therefore, so you have two balls of material, so to speak, that Hashem is using. And then he says they represent the two midas. The fire represents Midas Adin, and water represents Midas Chesed. And so when Hashem mixed them together, means, as we know, that Hashem used Chesed and Gvura together to create the world. As we know, the Altareb explains in detail in Shaar Yechad V'Emunah that with Chesed alone, you wouldn't even have a Tzimtzum, and everything would be Batal, and you need Gvura, which is the Midas Tzimtzum, that makes it possible that there should Bechlal exist Nivroi in Bali Gvura. So here, everything is expanding and expanding. Ad shegar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem rebuked it and yelled at it, v'hemidoy, and made it stop at a certain point. Shenema, the same pasuk that we just quoted, Amudah Shemayim Yudai Fafu, the pillars of the heavens are shaking, v'yismuhu migar rosei, and then they stand still in shock from Hashem's rebuke. So besides that, Rashi had mentioned on the pasuk that it means that they were watery and wavy until Hashem made them stand still and freeze in place. But we're saying in addition, also Hashem made them stop at a certain point, stop growing any larger. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea that it means, in other words, that the Eibishter makes a tzimtzum god over atzum, but the Eibishter decides there should be a certain point. The tzimtzum should be only this far and no more, so that we have a world which is where all the course is hidden, but where it's still possible to discover all the course. If it had gone any further, we'd have a world where it would be completely impossible to discover all the course at all. Why gar? So Ion Yaakov explains. Because like this, without that, first of all, after all, the Eibishter's power is Ein Sof, so it would continue Ein Sof, but the Eibishter wants to demonstrate with the Gar, Hashem wants to show that no, Olam Hazeh has to have a limit. So in other words, not like the Eibishter, so to speak, had to just create it to begin with a limit. The Eibishter created it as if it's going to go on forever and then demonstrated with a Ga'ara, no, realize that Olam Hazeh has a limit, unlike Olam Hapa. Okay, that's okay. Behind the Amr of Shimon Lakish, my dichtiv ani kel shakai. Later on, when Hashem speaks to Avram Avinu about the mitzvah bris milah, he starts by saying, "I am kel shakai." Why does Hashem use that name, shakai? Ani kel shamarti la ulamidai means I am the God who said to my world enough, meaning stop expanding at a certain point. As we learned yesterday, also Tosfos points out that the millery of the letter is Shin, Dalet, and Yud. The millery of the Yud Nun of Shin, and then so forth from the Dalet and the Yud equals 500. And there's the Mahalach Tov Kuf Shana that we have, which is the size of the earth, as the Gemara talks about later, and the distance from one Rakia to the next, and so on and so forth. It all comes from that power of Shakai, that power of the Eibush to say into the world, Dai. Dai means enough, yeah. Okay, so yeah. Ikadamri, others say, Omer Shlokish, Bashak, Bashabach, Karshbach, say Yamagado, when Hashem created the great sea, the ocean, Hoya Marchi Baholach, it was getting wider and wider. Adjagar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem again rebuked it, the Yibshoi, and made it dry up, that it's not going to go any further. Shenema, Goya, Bayam, Bayam, Shehu, as we find later on, the Navi, this describes that Hashem rebukes the sea and dries it up. So Maharsha says it can't be talking about Kriyas Yamsuf, because then it wouldn't be Goyer in present tense. It would be Vayigar in the past. One time, Hashem rebuked it and made it dry up. Goyer is an ongoing thing, so therefore it has to refer to the Bria Sa'olam. The effect of that Ga'ora of the Ibishtas, to begin with, continues to affect how the size of the size and the capacity of the ocean, even now, and especially up the Exodus, that the Ibishtas is recreating it every moment. Right, but that's what I mean. In other words, like, so to speak, once the Eidosh distorts the process, it's Ein Sof. Anything that would be created from Ein Sof is itself going to be Ein Sof. The Alter Rebbe talks about in detail in Geras Chof and Tanya, unless the Eidosh puts a stop to it with a Tzimtzum. So that maybe the reason why you're asking why it has to use the word Goyer over here. And after all, Tzimtzum itself is an aspect of Gvura. It's a Gvura dicka thing. Like, the Eidosh has to put a stop over here, so therefore there. So it can be described as in terms of Gaara. One thing is, you know, also we often talk about in Chassidus that the yam in general refers to Alma de Skasya. So maybe also the Gemara is talking about that you have there's a limit not only to Alma de Skalya, which is like we said the Shtei Pakoyas Sholshesi. There's also a limit to Alma de Skasya. The Olam Asel Yonim also have a certain limit to them. They were also created through Tzimtzumim after all. Turn it up. Bes Shammai says first the heavens were created, then the earth. Shenema Bereshis Bara the Kim Esa Shemayim the Esa Aretz, in that order, Shemayim then Aretz. Or Bes Hillel Omim Eretz Nivris Tchila. Bes Hillel says the earth was created first. Shenema Vachakach Shemayim. Shenema Biyoyim Asoyis Hashem Lekim Eretz Veshemayim. Another pasuk later on describes on the day that Hashem created earth and heaven. So earth comes first. Now, Maharsha discusses in some detail over here. The fact is that it was all b'maimer echad. It was all Bereshis bara lekim as a shemayim v'as aretz. And the Gemara mentions in Megillah that Bereshis nami maimer, that the words that pasuk Bereshis itself is the first one of the asara ma'amaris. So the shemayim v'aretz were both created with one maimer. So what are you talking about? One before the other. And the fact is, as the Gemara is going to point out, that you have the psukim have to be reconciled among according to both of them. And he goes on to explain in some detail that basically the machlokas is not so much which one was created first, but when we talk about that the metzias of the world was getting larger and larger, like we said before, and then the Eibishter was goyer in it, and it stopped. So what was the ikar first that then everything developed on top of it? So Maharsha draws an analogy, like you have, for example, so what is it? Do you start from the beginning and then you have more and more layers added to the outside, or are you starting from the outside and working your way in towards the center? You actually have a similar machlokas that we learned in Yuma a while back, whether you have machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether the world was created from the middle and then extending outward, or first the Eibishter created the edges and then worked his way, so to speak, in. So therefore, so he explains Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel's machlokas along those lines as well. That Bes Shammai is saying the Shemayim is the Iker, and from that it starts spreading out more and more until you get all the way down to the Oretz. So Bes Hillel says the other way around, the Oretz being the center and everything surrounds it. So it starts with the Eretz, and then you have more and more layers accreting on top of that, which is secondary tip. There's a sicha in Chelik Vav where the Rebbe analyzes in detail. We have many places where we have machlokas Bes Shammai Bes Hillel, where the Rebbe explains we can view it in terms of bekoyach and bekoyach, where in general Bes Shammai tends to look at the potential of something and Bes Hillel tends to look at it as it actually is. Famously, for example, we have as far as Neres Chanukah, where Bes Shammai says you start from 8 and work your way down to 1, because at the beginning of Chanukah you have bekoyach 8 days, and the next day you have bekoyach 7 and so forth, whereas Basil looks at Bepoil, how much of Hanukkah has already passed. So the Rebbe explains this machlokas in that vein as well, that it's the Shemayim are the Koyach, the Oretz is the Poil, and so the question is which came first. Then the Rebbe goes on to develop the idea. It's not just a matter of which one is the Koyach and which one is the Poil. Bes Shammai takes the view, the whole purpose of the Eretz is to be brought up to the level of Shemayim, because Bes Shammai comes from Gvura. And that's what Gvura is. Gvura is halah, v'am shacha, is bringing upward, like fire, which Gvura is compared to. So therefore, they say the purpose, the whole purpose of the Eretz, it's, so to speak, secondary to Shemayim. Not, obviously, they know that Nesav HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyasli did it, and that's the purpose. But they're saying the ultimate purpose of the earth is to become a Shemayim. And therefore, they say Shemayim has to come first. Whereas Basila looks at it that their thing is Amshacha, to bring downward, as in Chesed, as in Mayim Shiyodim, Mokum Gavoyal, Mokum Namoch. And therefore, they say that the purpose of the Shemayim is to provide what is going to be the model for Earth, but ultimately the Earth, the Eretz, is where it's all at. So the Gemara continues. Tanya, Omer Lahem Bishilla Bishamai, L'divreichem, according to your logic that you're saying Hashem created the heavens first, Adam Boina Aliyah V'Achakach Boina Bayis, when a person is building a two-story house, does he first build the second floor and then the ground floor? So the Shemayim is like the second floor. Shenema Boina B'Shemayim Ma'aloysev, and the Pasuk describes Hashem builds his upper floors in heaven, V'Agudosei Al Eretz Yisada, and his bond, where people, the bond, Marsha explained, meaning the yesodis, the four yesodis that are bound together to make all the various material existences that we're familiar with, al eretz yesod, Hashem founded on the earth. So therefore, the heavens are like a second floor. So you don't build the second floor first. Omrulam b'shamay l'b'shilol. So b'shamay answers back, l'divreichem, and according to your logic, onam boino oisa shrafra. Does the person first make the footstool and then make the actual throne? And Hashem says the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. So the throne comes first. So therefore the Shemayim, which are Hashem's throne, has to be first. And the idea is, Rashi also explains, the idea is because first you build the throne, then you look at how high off the floor is the seat of the throne, and then you build the shrafraf appropriately, you build the footstool appropriately so that it'll fit the feet. So the same way, they had to create the Shemayim, and then based on how it comes out, so to speak, then he's going to create the Eretz appropriately. The Chum say neither of the above. Zev zek echad nivro, both of them were created at the same time. There's no one before the other, and there's no one more important than the other. Shenema af yodi yosta oretz. Hashem says, even you should know that my hand founded the earth. Be mini tipcha shemayim, and my right hand, so yodi would be my left hand, founded the earth. Be mini tipcha shemayim, and my right hand set up and then made tipcha means like it shaped, formed the heavens. I call to them Yamdu Yachdav. They stand together. So since it says Yamdu Yachdav implies that they were both created together, not one any time before the other, and not that one is any more important than the other. Yamdu Yachdav is part of the pasuk. Yeah. The idach. So what is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel answer to that? They say my Yachdav on the Shtalfi Mahadori. The word Yachdav just means that the heavens and earth always remain in their same positions relative to one another. They never slide apart from each other, but not that it means that they were created, and not that it means that they were created at the same time, but rather that one was created first and then the other. And it depends. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing which one is which. And Marsha goes on with more of an arichos about explaining more about the deeper ideas behind what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are saying. Both of them definitely agree that the fact is most psukim do mention Shemayim and Oretz, do mention Shemayim before Oretz. But Marsha says, fine, there's good reason for that. First of all, because how do you know the existence of Eibishter? It's easier to see it from the Shemayim than it is from the Oretz. You see the perfect, exact motion of the heavenly bodies and everything. Then you realize that the Rambam says at the beginning of the book, Yisod HaTorah, a thing can't move without some motive force. And when you see that they're moving constantly and continuously moving for thousands of years, then you realize that there's a mover, there's an Eibishter who's moving them. That's, after all, how Abramovich discovered the Eibishter. And then also you see more from looking at not just from their emotions, but b'chlal, from considering how, from looking at them, b'chlal, you see more of the greatness of the Eibishter. So therefore, fine. So Shemayim is generally mentioned first. So Hillel says that doesn't mean that Shemayim was actually created first. But then Mao Shou also goes on to point. Well, actually, let's learn the next. So the Gemara continues. Okay, well, we have Bishamai bringing a proof from Bereshis Bara Lakim as a Shemayim Vesaretz. Bishilo bringing from Biyem Asaris Hashem Lakim Eretz Vashemayim. So which is it, Tanka? Why does one pasuk mention Shemayim first and the other one mention Eretz first? When Hashem created them, then according to Bishamai, Bara Shemayim Vachakach Oretz. Then first he created the heavens and then the earth. But then when he spread them out, like he spread out a tent, then not to Eretz v'achakach Shemayim, first he spread out the earth and then the heavens. Marsha says in particular, that means, you think about it, so Bereshis Bara Elokim Asher Shemayim v'Asaretz. When was all the work of creating, when was all of Hashem's work of creating the earth finished? On the third day. On the second day, there you have the Eibush to create the water, the Mayim, that separates the Mayim al-Yonim and Mayim al-Tonim. The third day is Yikovu al-Mayim and the dry land that appears. After that, that's it. The job of creating the physical earth is done. Meanwhile, when is the job of creating the Shemayim finished? Only on the fourth day, when the Eibush to put the sun and moon in place. So therefore, in that sense, we can say that Hashem, so to speak, spread out, like setting up a tent. First, he finished with the job of putting together the earth, and then he finished the next day the job of putting together the heavens. So therefore, so that explains the words Eretz or Shemayim in that way. Okay. The Gemara continues. My Shemayim, why do we call the heavens Shemayim? Amrav Yosef Abchanina, Sheshom Mayim, because there is water. There on top of it, there's water. We have Mayim Hashem Al-Rafiyah. The Masnisa Tana in a Braisa we learn another meaning, Eshumayim. It also means that Shemayim is short for fire and water. Malamache, Vienna Kodesh Bohu, the Turf and Zebazeh, Hashem took fire and water and mixed them together. Marsha again said before when he talked about the Shtei Pakiyas that Hashem blended together Chesed and Gura, but also Mehen Rakia and created the Rakia out of that mixture. Rashi on the pasuk brings a third meaning also that Shemayim also stands for Sa Mayim because it bears Sa Melosh Nasa, the waters again that it bears and then carries the Mayim Oyon. But here the Gemara brings only the other two. Okay. The Gemara continues. Shor Rabbi Shmuel as Rabbi Akiva Kshoy Mahalchon Baderech. One time Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are walking together on the road and Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Akiva, he says, "Ata sheshimashta es Nochum ish gamzu chavdeis shana." You, Rabbi Akiva, learned and personally served Nochum ish gamzu for 22 years. We learned about Nochum ish gamzu in Tainus. So Dorish called es in Shabbat Torah. Nochum ish gamzu famously used to douch in every s in the Torah that it comes to add something. Actually, elsewhere the Gemara mentions that not in the name of Nochum ish gamzu. In other places, the Gemara mentions it in the name of Shimon Ham Suni or Nechemya Ham Suni. The Gemara mentions in a few other places that it mentioned that he came to Eser Shalom and Kechatira and he was bothered how could he compare anything to the Moda of the Eibushter. So he withdrew all of his Dorashes until Rabbi Akiva said Eser Shalom and Kechatira L'Rabbis Timon Chachamim. So here, Rabbi Shmuel is telling him that you learned that kind of that style of learning from Nochum ish gamzu. So I have to ask you, Esa Shemayim Vesa Aretz, my Dorash Behen. So what did Nochum ish gamzu daushin about the S in Shemayim Vaaretz? Now you have elsewhere Marshal says, okay, you know, we have there was a medrash that says that it means Esa Shemayim Ladavas Tzvam Vesa Aretz Ladavas Tzva'er, that includes all the hosts of heaven and earth. Still, Marshal says it could have said Esa Shemayim Va'aretz. Well, that's actually later in the Gemara, but whatever. Why does it say, why Bechlal does it say Esa Shemayim Vesa Aretz? Why not just Bereshis Bara Elokim Shemayim Va'aretz? So Rabbi Akiva answers him, Ilu Nema Shemayim Va'aretz, if it said it without the S's, how you see Shemayim Va'aretz, Shmos and Shalak Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you would mistakenly think that Shemayim and Aretz are names of Hashem. You would understand, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Shemayim Va'aretz. You would think, Chas V'Shalom, that it means Elokim, and Shemayim and Aretz all did, etc. So therefore, Achshav Shenema Es Shemayim Ves Eretz Shemayim Shemayim or Mamish Eretz Eretz Mamish. So then we understand that it means that those are the objects of the sentence that Bereshis Bara Elokim, the Eibushter created the Shemayim and the Eretz. Those are the objects rather than the subjects of the sentence. Bar Shah brings from the Medrash that says a little differently. You would have thought Shemayim Va'aretz are gods. So in other words, you would think there's Beis Rishoyis, that maybe Bereishis Bara Elikim, that maybe that Elikim is like the first mover, and then you have Shemayim and Aretz, so also like lesser deities, Rachman Latzlan, and then whatever. So now it makes it clear that Elikim is the one who makes everything happen, not just the mover who started everything moving, but the one who actually made everything happen. Okay, the Gemara asks, Ve'esa Aretz Lomali. Fine, but why does it have to say Ve'esa Aretz? Bereishis Bara Elikim, Esa Shemayim Va'aretz. Once we have the first S, that makes us understand already that Shemayim Va'aretz are not names of Hashem or gods or anything like that. So the answer is Lahaktim Shemayim Va'aretz, to tell us that heaven goes before earth. Now, Rashi explains, in other words, without the second S, you would say, like the Chachamim said before, that they were both created at the same time. It says one before the other. Well, look, you can't say two words together necessarily. One has to be before the other, but it could still mean the first. It could still mean first one, then the other. By saying the word S in between makes it clear first one was created, then the other one was created. Tosfos mentions that Rashi on the Pasuk mentions the Esa Shemayim L'Rabbis Tzva'eim, Esa Aretz L'Rabbis Tzva'eim. That disagrees with our Gemara over here, because according to that, you have a very good reason for the S separately by each one of them. Fine. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara continues when it says, "Va'oritz ha'isa soyu v'voyu mechti shemayim maschu bereisha." Now in Pasuk Aleph, it mentioned shemayim first. Ma'ishna dekachoshev ma'isa eretz. So why does it right away switch to things that Hashem did on the earth? First, it should describe what the Ebeshter did with shemayim, and then it should continue with what Hashem did on eretz. The answer is Tonet Veda Bishmol, Moshal Melech Boss of Adam, like a human king, he tells his servants, I want you to all be up early tomorrow to be at my door. The next morning he comes there and he finds there are women and there are men waiting over there already for his orders. Lamima Shabeach, which one does he praise more? Lamisha ain't Dauka Lahashkim Mehishkim, the ones who don't usually wake up early, and they made the effort and they came early. So the same way, in other words, the Shemayim being the Olamus Ruchniyim, of course, they're more in tune with what Hashem wants. And therefore, so like they don't deserve as much credit. But the Oretz, which is naturally, it's Tachten, Shein Tachten, Lamata Hemenu. And yet, the Medrash even says it's called Eretz Sherot Stalasis, its own kind of that it ran to do what the Eivishter wants. So like it deserves more credit. And therefore, the Eivishter highlights it first. And explains it, and that Hashem highlights it first, and talks about what it did. In fact, Marashah says it can also mean, according to Beis Hillel, that it means the earth, so to speak, woke up first and actually got created first. In other words, that it was so to speak more ready to be created, more even than the Shemayim, which were then only created afterwards. So therefore, the Eivishter gives the Oretz credit and starts highlighting it first. Bechlal, there was an idea in it also, you know, and you start out with that. After that, you have the focus. You know, when you get down to it, the focus in the Torah gets more and more narrow. First, you have those Shemayim va'aretz, then only Aretz, then only humanity, then only Noach's family, then only Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, then only the Shevatim, etc. Because in other words, the Eibishter is focusing on what's the most important relative to the Eibishter, as we're saying over here in the Gemara. The Aretz is more important because that's where he wants a Didav Tachtonim, and that's where we have the ability to do Avodas Berurim and all of that. And therefore, there may be a whole Shemayim out there, and it's much bigger, and in some ways more important than Earth. But the Eibishter is setting all that aside, like you have the Loshen. Like you have the Loshen in Tanya that he niyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Yonim B'Tachtonim, and he's focusing only on us Jewish. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, Laman Menachem Av. Every single year, the men and women, even children, has the achrayus to increase in his avoda to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu B'poyel Mamash. How does a person express that avoda is also very simple. A person adds in Torah and mitzvahs. A person adds in learning both nigla and pnimiyas haTorah, and by fulfilling mitzvahs behider, and that's a person in that way increases with his avoda in such a way that will bring Mashiach B'poyel Mamash. Thank you. Okay, continuing with halachas of Shabbos, with halachas of clothing on Shabbos. You have a person who needs a walking stick. So you have a person who's lame, a person who just recovered from an illness, an old person. If they can't walk without a walking stick at all, then they're allowed to walk with one on Shabbos. In the same way, you have people walk around with walkers on Shabbos. Same idea. If they're able to walk without the walking stick, though, and in their house they walk without one, and they just use it when they're outside, then it would be awesome. Similarly, also a blind person also wouldn't be, he says, wouldn't be able to take along his walking stick in the same, in unless the city has an eruv, for the same reason, in other words, because he can get around his house without it, basically, so it's not so essential for him. I'm not sure if that necessarily applies nowadays, where a blind person actually uses his walking stick to signal. They have special colored walking sticks for blind people to signal to people that they're blind, and especially to cars that they should know to stop for him. So I don't know if that same din applies now that they're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos. Anyway, then you have sometimes people use a walking stick because they're a fancy type of person who uses a walking, like if I have, for example, the story with the silver-headed walking stick that the Rebbe Rashab got for the Frida Kadeva. So that kind of thing, even when there's an Eruv, you can't use on Shabbos because he said it would be Zilusa to Shabbos, it would be disgrace to Shabbos to be carrying around something like that you don't need. The Alter Rebbe, though, says no, it's not Zilusa to Shabbos. Not necessarily should you be wearing, should you be taking it on Shabbos, but it wouldn't be a Zilusa, it wouldn't be a degradation of Shabbos to do it, the Alter Rebbe says. Another din, a person is wearing chains, then a person is wearing like leg irons or whatever, he would be allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. So I guess to that extent nowadays it might apply to handcuffs. Whether it would apply to like ankle monitors, I don't know, because those are a whole nother matter. Those are electronic devices. That's a whole nother matter. As you walk around, they give off a signal. So I don't know if there would be, I don't know what the dinim would be about that on Shabbos. And then another din is you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos with stilts. What? Why would you go out on stilts? Let's say think about it. For example, let's say the Lag BaOmer parade. You have a bachur who go around and then in clown makeup on stilts, right? So okay, there's no Lag BaOmer parade on Shabbos, but let's say. For whatever reason, I mean, the original, yeah, the, no, it's actually, it's not a joke, actually, in the Gemara, when it mentions that, when it mentions these things, that is actually, the Gemara uses the word ankatmin, and Rashi gives like three different explanations of what ankatmin are, and other Rishonim give other ones. One of the explanations, Rashi says, it means stilts, which you would use, for example, on muddy ground to keep your feet and shoes from getting wet. So yeah, nowadays, I don't know how many people use them for that, but whatever the case, you're not allowed to use them on shots.
Yeah, definitely.